It's the Daniel in the lion's den this morning. If I see some unfamiliar faces, we're working our way through Daniel right now. And we started at Daniel 1 with choosing a healthier diet, lifestyle, than perhaps the rich and famous were trying to hand off to Daniel and his friends. And we've gone all the way through, and today is the last Sabbath before we start getting to what can only be described as the meat of the Bible. Because Daniel 7, 8, 9, and all the way through to 12 is really hardcore prophecy. The kind of Bible that if you read it, you don't readily understand what in the world it's saying. So today is kind of what I might call the calm before the storm. We've got a story for one more week. We can learn from the story. But the stories in Daniel, I believe, are there for a reason. And that the stories can help us understand some of the prophecies that are to come. For me, there is a central theme running through there that God's law, God's way, God himself will be vindicated, is right, even when we don't fully understand what's going on in our surroundings. And if ever there was an example of that, that is Daniel in the lion's den. So one more week to lay the foundations before we start some serious construction next week. I'm going to put a video on the screen right now. My guess is a number of you have seen this. Don't ruin it for those who haven't, because it's awesome. And I will let you sort of enjoy this, and then I'll bring the point out in a little while. I've got some sound coming along with this as well. So take a look at these two doggies about to share some ice cream.
We just went to the drive-up window. What did we get, Cooper? Daisy, what did we get? Cooper, let Daisy have some. No, Cooper. Daisy, where did we go? Did we go to McDonald's? No. Daisy gets hers first. Why does Daisy get hers first? Because Cooper.
Now, who would you want in that scenario making the rules about society? Because I'm going to make the point today that it's the Coopers of this world that make the rules of this world. But if that's the case, there's a lot of people that miss out. Now, as you look at that, I go, oh, that's so cruel. That's like dog abuse. I mean, just to dangle that in front of a dog. But I understood by the end. The trouble is, if you have the small people making the rules, they're going to make the rules fit for themselves too. And if you make the big people, you know, those that are perhaps more educated, more wealthy, make the rules, they're going to make the rules fit for them. Praise God, people like you and I have someone like the dog owner here who knows what's going on. Ooh, I knew something was happening there. Praise God that you and I have someone like the dog owner there who knows both her dogs and can make the rules accordingly. And that's our God. But that is not the world we live in. Now, I'm going to make it, I'm just going to sort of keep driving this point home as we go along. So I'm going to play a game with you today. And I know some of you are going to be like, standing in church games, that's a little too much. But work with me, there's going to be a point to this. So you need to kind of buddy up. If you, by the way, when we stand, there are some of you that don't need to stand. I get that, right? Because it's painful. It hurts. When we say kneel, there are some of us that just can't kneel. That's okay. We'll do it as a group, and our standing and our kneeling will all add together. So right now, if you're not in an up around, movie around sort of a place, the Lord will forgive you, and so will I. But kind of buddy up around you. We're going to play a game of rock, paper, scissors. Okay, we're going to do that. I think it's quite well known here. Something beats something. Rock beats scissors. Scissors beats paper. Paper beats rock. I've never understood the paper rock one. I don't get that, but the others make sense. So buddy up, and I'm going to count to three, and on three, you need to do your rock, paper, scissors, and then I'm interested in the winners. The losers, you know, I just ate all the ice cream. So, okay, are you all ready? You look like some of you are kind of ready, so get ready for your rock, paper, scissors, and so I'm going to count to three, and you're going to go. If you tie, just hang on a minute. Okay, one, two, three. All right, if you tied, one, two, three. If you tied, one, two, three. Oh, there we go. Anyone still going? All right, all those who are winners, stand up. Okay, the losers are sitting down. Take a good, long, loud look at them. Okay, the winners, I need you to find another partner. Okay. And this is where you actually get to meet somebody new who perhaps has not maybe even met before. Introduce yourselves. Say why you're here. Okay, you're all ready. Ron's looking for a friend. No, just pick a loser. Pick any loser, and then they're back in. This is what we call grace, Pat. All right, are you ready? One, two, three. One, two, three. One, two, three. Anyone still going? Oh, yeah. One, two, three. You guys can't be separated. Just don't take her to Portland. One, two. All right. One, two, three. Oh, there you go. All right. Winners, find yourselves another partner. There's only one person here. There's someone back there. Okay, there you go. You're good. Stand up, whoever won there. Abby, did you win? There you go. Look at that old shot. Wow, we got down to that pretty quick, didn't we? All right. Okay, Clara, you're good there. All right. Are you cheating? Oh, I'm going to get a lecture later. Okay. One, two, three. One, two, three. One, two, three. You're still going? One, two, three. All right, the winners, come on up here. The winners, there should be four of you, I think. Oh, don't, aren't you so glad you came right now? All right, this is my daughter. She's not happy with me either, so why don't you hang out together? All right, you kind of got a girls, boys thing going on. By the way, you don't know this, but the winner gets to play a little game with me, so this is going to be pretty cool. All right, there's a point to this, just in case you're wondering. If you're not sure, go ahead and read Daniel 6, and you'll get it in a little bit. All right, ready, steady, one, two, three. All right. Bye-bye. All right, hello, look at this. This is very nice. Well, no, we don't do gifts. No. We'll just give you an extra chance to pay some more offering, you know, because it's more blessed to give than to receive. No. All right, so now we have our final right here. So one, two, three. Oh, wait, that wasn't right. Yeah. Well, you're even trying to lose and you got up to this far. All right, we'll do it again. One, two, three. No, you did it. You're our winner, right? No, you're our winner. Yes. All right. Well, that just seems divine to me. Kelly is.
Years that I've been at this church, I never was up here.
Is it ever? Really? Is that right?
No, I don't do this.
Really? I do it a lot.
I know. I don't.
And I want to share
this
that.
Is God's,
you know,
humor.
I think it might be. I'm sensing that. Okay. Now you and I are going to play the exact same game.
Okay.
And this is where the point starts building, because I know some of these people are very nervous about what's going on right now. Okay, so one, two, three. One, two. Fire. Fire beats everything. I win. Thank you for playing along, by the way. Thank you. Give her a hand. Now, in this world, there are a lot of people who are ready to make rules up as they go along to fit their own agenda. Praise be that I didn't lose on the first one because I forgot to do fire on the first one. So that kind of worked out pretty good. But that's what often happens in our society. We make rules up in order that we get our own way, so that our agenda might be possible for everyone around us. And some of us are pretty good at it. It can happen on a big scale for, you know, nations. It can also happen within families. Oh, the number of times I've had to make up rules for Clara and Austin because they're just not, my old rules aren't working and they've outsmarted me. So I've got to have a new rule. And this happens all the way through life. We do it in churches. We have the GC coming up this year. We're going to make some new rules kind of as we go along. We're even going to argue about it a little bit. And we're all going to claim that they're God's rules. And we're going to have to sort that out somehow. And that's what we're talking about today. There are some rules that need to be added so that we get what we want. And generally, our whole society is built up on that. Now, there are some core rules that we cannot mess with. I would call them self-evident, perhaps. That would be one way of describing them a little bit. And the Bible says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. And you might have heard that if you've been hanging around a church for a while. But wages is not the same as punishment. It's not the punishment for sin is death. It's the wages. It is the natural occurrence of what happens. So if you sin, it's eventually going to lead you to death. Adam and Eve dying in the garden was not a punishment for eating the tree. It's just a natural consequence for saying, you know what, God, I don't like your rules. I'm going to make up my own. And the devil is a master of this. And the devil is the one who's in heaven with everything working just the way it should be. Was like, hang on a second, I don't like my status here. I'd like some more. And God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, as a Godhead, they had created Lucifer as high up the chain as they possibly could. They had made Lucifer with as much authority as Lucifer could be given while maintaining heaven and community. But Lucifer didn't like that and wanted more. And the same thing happens here. Oh, man, if I could have just a little bit more information about you guys. What if I had a secret way to find out what your secret sins are? And it has popped up on my computer. That would make me a better pastor, right? I don't know if I could be trusted with all of that sort of information. Maybe we have it just right the way it is. But God has created this planet, this universe, this existence with a certain kind of law as we go through. And when we as humans come along and go, wait a second, that's not working for me. I'm not getting ahead enough. And if I cut this corner, maybe I could get ahead of all these other people. This is why we have phrases like cheating. Because we want to get ahead of people around us. And there's a classic story of this in the Bible. And it's in Daniel 6. And Daniel 6 is totally preparing us for Daniel 7. Because these kingdoms that follow each other have their own set of rules. And next week, we're going to find out that it's not only kingdoms that make up their set of rules. But right now, we're in Daniel 6, and we get this amazing story of a group of people who make up a law totally to fulfill their own desires, their own wishes, and their own wants. Now, when King Darius comes, we don't hear a lot about the changeover. We hear that we see the writing on the wall, and we know that Babylon's done. And then we turn the page, go to the next chapter, and Daniel's there. I'm going to punch that along. It's not going to go anywhere. We'll just say that we're done. And so Daniel was put into a position of immense authority, which he was by Belshazzar, by the way. He's really the king that did not put Daniel high up in his kingdom, and he's the one who lost it. But Daniel was about as high a position as you can get. The way Darius managed this huge empire, he had 120 satraps. I love just saying that word, a satrap. And these were people who had authority around different regions, different areas. And then to govern those satraps were three more people. And Daniel was one of those three. In fact, Daniel may well have been the one amongst the three. And the people that were not Jews and not Babylonians and perhaps were either a Mede or a Persian, if I'd have thought about it, I'd have tried to find that out for you. They didn't like the fact that Daniel was not just given this much authority, but was trusted by their king for this position. So the scriptures say there that they were looking for an opportunity to tattletale on Daniel. And they looked and waited for him to do something wrong so they could bring light onto that and go, look, we knew this all along, but king, man, he just is not a great leader. You need to move him along. And they got tired of waiting because Daniel didn't mess up. So they decided to make a new rule. And they appealed to King Darius's, or Darius, English and American say it differently, I can't remember which is which. Is it Darius? 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 Okay, it could be either one. Okay, Philip. Sorry. He liked Daniel. And so these other rulers who didn't like being subject to Daniel, this foreigner, made up this law, appealed to the king's vanity, and said that for 30 days, everything should come through you. All the worship, all the praise, all the glory. You are king. This will cement your authority and your legacy. And the king signed it. And anybody who wouldn't do this, who put another god or another thing or another person before the king, would have to be thrown into the den of lions. And the king signed it. And then the other rulers went out to sit and wait because they knew that Daniel was going to do this. They had absolute confidence that even faced with the lion's den, Daniel was going to put his God first. It's Daniel's chance to make up for being absent at the fiery furnace day. Boy, there's a choice. Would you like a fiery furnace or a lion's den? I don't know. None of them sound really good. I'd like Dunkin' Donuts. That's what I'd like. They'll all kill you, but that one's a lot more fun. Daniel prays to his God morning, noon, and night. And these leaders see it, and they report it, not just once, the whole day's worth. And the king realizes he's been got at. Because, and this always fascinated me as a child, because the law could not be undone. That's what we're told. The king had to go through with his own law. That's what you do when you think that your laws and your ways are really important. You say they cannot be overturned, which is to put your law on par with God's law. Because God's law cannot be overturned. And apparently the king's law could not be overturned. So Daniel, who the king loved, was going to have to be sent to the lion's den. Love what the king says. The king's like, may the God who you serve protect you. The other rulers knew Daniel was going to pray. And the king really thought that Daniel's God was going to protect him, which I think is awesome. It says a lot for Daniel, that he would be trusted as a foreigner. He didn't have any other agenda. He served. It's what he did. He actually lived out God's law, and he shows how it works. So Daniel is put down into the lion's den. And he waits. And so does the king. He has a sleepless night. Sleep could not come to him. And the next day, the king goes, breaks his own seal over the lion's den, and says, has your God saved you? Yes. He sent an angel down and closed their mouths. And they bring Daniel out. And I'm just going to tell you what happened next and see if it puzzles you a little bit like it puzzles me. The people who made the law were then put in the lion's den. So it would appear to me that this law could be changed when it came down to it. When God's glory was revealed and God's way was revealed to be the true and right way, the true and right God. Oh, forget about those other laws. Sure, put them in instead. Including their families, their children as well. I have such a hard time with that. It makes me very uncomfortable as a preacher, as an expounder of the Word of God. But it's true, it's what happened. And maybe it was a different time and all that sort of thing. And maybe it should wake us up to the responsibility that we have in our roles, in our families, that what we do affects our family, our loved ones, our friends, our church. But the king says that we should only now give glory to God because he obviously is the true God. So forget these man-made stuff. We said that it couldn't be revoked, but let's revoke it anyway. Because God has been revealed as the one who is in control and who looks after his people and who has a plan for every single eventuality on this earth. Sometimes those eventualities lead to death. But we know that even that isn't the final word. If we go back to the fiery furnace where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, the Lord will come and save us, but even if he doesn't, I will still serve him. And I think that was Daniel's attitude. And that's what God is calling for. And as we go through the book of Daniel, God is saying, I will look after my people. I have a plan for this world. And so when we make stuff up to try and make ourselves fit in, when we try and bow down to man's laws above God's laws, just because we can get a few extra dollars or a few extra years life on this planet, it's all temporary stuff. It's all playing life. It's like a game. But what we are doing here is real. It matters. And God has it. And God will hold it. And God will see what the devil is accusing, will answer him, and will bring us to the point of eternity so that we can live forever with our God in a new earth where his ways and his laws become true, self-evident, are right, and will allow for a peaceful, harmonious community where jealousy is not present, where anger does not rise up, but where we practice the fact that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive, where these things shall be true and lived out. That is our calling. That is our future. And so we have this one more story here. This one more example of how it works. And then next week, we'll start opening Daniel chapter 7. And there's no real cute stories at this point, but we will take what comes from Daniel 7 and use the stories to interpret what that might be saying to us right there. And there are some powerful words of hope that come from these chapters in 7, 8, 9, and all the way through to 12. So in the meantime, may God bless you, and may he guide you. May his ways become your ways. May you not fall for the cheap tricks of advertising that people want to put on you to predict your behavior in a certain way. May this week be the week where you follow God and you do so with confidence, knowing that God has an amazing plan for your life. Let's pray together. Dear God, please continue to lead us. Make yourself known to us. Reveal your will for us, to us. And bless this congregation. May your light shine through us as we live for you and serve you this week. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.